The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Epic Podcast. Introducing your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you direct from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, Episode 11. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host. Hey, Lugo! It's so good to see you on this beautiful rainy June evening.
It is a rainy June evening.
It is.
You've avoided saying your name once again.
I think we're going to have to look at the tape.
We can, but it's really only been less than 30 seconds. I'm pretty sure that I can remember that far back. And I remember very distinctly you not saying your name, which we've already agreed. We've mutually agreed. That is a far better and funner thing to say than my name.
Okay, I remember agreeing with that.
Yeah.
I don't remember not saying my name again. And I don't think you should be showing off that you aren't brain damaged and that your memory works super cool. That's not really fair. I am disabled.
No, you're not. Oh. That's not a thing. That's
I'm
not a
damaged.
Thing you can claim. Well, sure. Okay, I guess psychologically damaged, you've got baggage, but I don't think you can really use your baggage as an excuse not to say your name every damn episode. You come up with a brand new way to avoid saying your name. You would think by now that I would kind of just let it pass, but I'm not going to let it pass because people need to know who you are.
I use my damage and my baggage as an excuse to get out of everything else. I see no reason why the introduction to our podcast would be any
different. No. The I'm drawing the line in the sand, sir. You will tell the people who you are, or I will tell the people who you are. It's your choice.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Yay! Nothing can be easy with you. Nothing. Nothing's ever easy with
you.
No. Everything's just difficult.
Everything.
And drama-filled.
Ask anybody in my life. It's not just you.
I think
any single person who has any kind of interaction with me
Anyone who relates to you in any capacity, yeah.
Yes, they would agree that I am incredibly difficult all the time.
Wowzers. All right.
I don't really mean to be.
No, you do, actually. You go out of your way.
Actually, you know what? You're right.
You go out of your way to do it.
That was a total lie.
It was a premeditated event that you just propagated.
Yes.
And you do it all the time.
I do it all the time. Hey, Lugo, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah? I understand you just finished your final round of chemotherapy.
I finished my fourth round of chemotherapy. I go in for a couple of scans, various types of scans over the next couple of weeks, and that will determine whether or not I go for a fifth round, but the prognosis is looking pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, my doctor seems to think that I will not need a fifth round of chemo. What I will be needing, however, is scans and constant doctor checkups for the next 2 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, follow-up appointments, those are one thing, but it's not like you're going in for 5 days and getting poison pumped into you.
That is correct.
Hopefully. And you know what? If you don't have to go, let's say you don't have to go for a fifth round.
Right.
You're welcome.
For what?
I was at Coney Island last weekend, and I made a wish on the Zoltar machine that would be your final round of chemo.
Okay.
But then it turned me into a 32-year-old Tom Hanks instead.
That was a
fun weekend. That was a really fun weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed it. I do like Coney Island, and I do like Tom Hanks.
Those are two great tastes that taste great together.
Well, makes one of us.
So what you been doing this whole month? I know I've only been in the hospital for like a week, but I've been reading a lot of comic books lately.
I have also been reading a lot of comic books.
Yeah? What have you been reading?
I have blasted through all of the published trades of Lock and Key.
Oh, wow. That
well,
was fast.
Not all of them. There are five that are out.
Yes.
But the fifth one is only in hardcover still. And I bought the first four in paperback.
Okay.
I could go and get that fifth one in hardcover, but you know me, I've got a sickness and I need things to be consistent. So I'm going to wait. And IDW is releasing book number five in paperback in July, like the second week of July.
Oh, okay.
And then number six will come out. Who knows when? They're still publishing monthly issues for book six.
I'm reading those currently.
It is arguably the best comic book story I've ever read.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of my top 10.
It's in my head. For those who read the book, it's kind of a funny joke. But it's really...
it's haunting in that it's a supernatural... I guess it's a supernatural story, but set in a very, very real world with very real problems that these... On top of all of the horror that is going on, this family is dealing with some very real hardships and some very sort of like almost mundane problem trials and tribulations that they that every person has to go through on top of everything else that's happening to them. And man, the writer just doesn't pull any fucking punches. Yeah. I mean this
that's
family,
Joe Hill.
Yeah, Mr. Hill. Oh man, he has a hard on for fucking this family over and over and over again. But it's a very compelling story, and it's I love the history of it. I love the issues where they kind of go back, you know, during the colonial America and talk about how it all got started. And
wait, hold on there.
Whoa!
Now you're talking about things I've not read yet.
Oh, because it's in the published issue that you don't have.
It's I'm not doing monthlies with.
Well, I'm not spoiling anything.
I actually know that it's going.
Yeah,
back
they trace the history of it.
I know that in volume six that they're kind of dabbling that. But I read an interview with Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, in which they said that after they finish it with book six, that's going to wrap up the story. They're going to do another kind of standalone trade that goes back hundreds of years.
Oh, wow.
And not just like a flashback so that you have like context, but actually tells the whole story.
Oh, good, good, good.
All set in like colonial America.
Because I like their grindhouse story too.
The what?
The grindhouse story.
What's that?
I think it's a single issue side story.
Oh, you're such a son of a bitch. That's also later than I have read. Anyway, Lock and Key. It's published by IDW. I strongly recommend you pick it up.
I've actually been reading the new Hawkeye series.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, it's basically the life of a non-superpowered Avenger.
Okay.
And like the trials and tribulations that he kind of goes through, and he gets beat up every issue so hard by so many people. And it's just, it's funny. It's very indicative of that character. And I'm having a blast with it. It's the only Marvel title that I'm reading right now. So I give it that. So give that credit where it's due.
Hey, that makes you are now reading one more Marvel title than I am. Hey, but that shouldn't stop you from going out and picking up all the stuff that our last month's guest, Corey Pettit, letters.
Right. I'm reading.
If this
something...
were a comic book, there would be like a little square in the corner with an asterisk that says, see last month's episode.
Yeah, I'm reading like the one title he's not lettering, I think, basically. but I'm like the new, you know, the new there's a new Astro City series starting up. I'm reading a new series called Sex, which is actually really good.
Oh, are you reading that?
Yeah.
I've thumbed through the issues in the store because it says sex on the cover in big letters.
Oh,
so
dear.
Every time I say, oh, well, let's take a look.
It's not what you think it is.
No, I read a little bit about it online.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if like, is this something that's going to burn out? Is it going to keep going? Should I wait for trades?
You know what it is? It's a very slow story. It's very methodically paced.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and I'm not saying that as a detriment. I happen to like those kinds of stories.
Sure.
Basically, it's the story of this one uber hero who has retired. And it's now he's dealing with this kind of emptiness in his life. this, you know, this lack of action, this lack of drama, this lack of like daring thrills and death-defying feats. And now he's just a businessman. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's almost an examination of what would happen if Bruce Wayne gave up being Batman. And he just basically ran Wayne Enterprises. And it's, so far I'm pretty fascinated. I like the writing. The art style is a little iffy, but it's a very minimalist style. Mm-hmm. But so far so good. I mean, I'm definitely going to be buying some future issues.
Are there, what, 3 issues out so far?
Yes, there are 3 issues out. So it's very easy to jump in at this point.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I keep thinking about it. Every time I go to the comic book store, I always think like maybe I'll get the backs, get the 2 previous issues, and
yeah, it's worth. I mean, it's pretty cheap. It's worth a shot.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if you're not hooked by like the second one, then I probably wouldn't recommend it. But forewarned, it's a very slowly paced story.
Sure.
Which is the exact opposite of East to West, which you're
still reading,
which I'm still reading and probably my favorite thing to read right now. Almost super fast. Like basically you're dropped in the middle of a story and the characters all know what's going on except you, and they're talking and you're basically just picking up hints as you go along and you're playing catch up the entire time, and it's fucking amazing and violent as fuck. Pretty damn good. I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a good time. Good time to be a comic book reader.
I'm still reading G.I. Joe Cobra Files. Published by IDW.
Is that still going? Or are you getting all the back issues?
No, I got all the back issues. All right. So Word Burglar, my Canadian rap friend,
yeah,
he had recommended that when IDW launched this new series called G.I. Joe Cobra Files, check it out. It's a great point to jump in. So I got the first issue, and
you mentioned that last time.
It was already kind of like in progress.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, and it was cool. It kind of gave a gritty real world perspective to some of these really dumb neon colored action figures that I played with when I was a boy. But then he, you know, told me that I needed to go back and read these 4 trades that kind of set up, lead up to the Cobra Files.
Sure.
And it's some of the best shit I've read. And the new issue of Cobra Files just came out. It's a really, really great series.
Well,
I recommend reading it. I recommend going back and getting all those trades first.
Well, how about this?
Unless you're Nelson Lugo, you can just read them in my
studio. Well, hold on. How about this? I have never read a G.I. Joe comic book.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of the cartoon series, obviously.
Sure.
Would it be worth it for me to read these? Would I get the same kind of thrill?
Yeah, they're great stories.
I mean,
the thing is that a lot of the characters in the books are written for the books. They aren't characters from the toy line or from the animated series, or the old animated series.
Right.
You're not going to be left out. The thing is that when some of these characters show up in the story and they are based on characters, and here's the thing, these writers don't pick iconic G.I. Joe characters. They pick the worst, most obscure, terrible, late characters like Croc Master and Night Creeper.
Oh, dear.
That are Serpentor, these terrible characters, and then I maybe they just like a challenge. They're like, well, let's take this and put this in this world, and it's brilliant. You won't feel left out, and it's actually a really great. I don't know if you read much like. It's very much a spy story.
All right, awesome.
It's great. There's great tension, great emotional.
I still like the comic books I've been reading. You still like the comic books you've been reading.
Yeah,
all that checks out.
I also I am currently one of those guys who is playing The Last of Us.
Oh,
the new PS3 exclusive.
I'm really jealous because
Naughty Dog.
Because I don't own a PS3,
right.
And this is the one game that I would probably buy the system for.
Every critic is they're just crawling all over themselves to be the one to give it the more superlative review. IGN called it a masterpiece.
Man,
so many people are giving it tens. It's a really great goddamn game.
Fuck, I want to play that.
Great, and the thing is, at the center of it, there's really nothing all that inventive about it. You are trying to cross America in a post-apocalyptic world where there's been some outbreak, and the people aren't exactly zombies. They're the infected.
But right, let's face it, these are all very common tropes, essentially.
Right, yeah. And there is a tiny little American army that's trying to keep the peace, and there's bandits, and there are these like rebels called the Fireflies. So it's... And you have like a, it's basically like this long escort mission where you have to make sure that you deliver this child to safety on the other side of America. Right. So it's everything. It's like Cormac McCarthy's The Road. It's Telltale Games' Walking Dead game. It's there's nothing about it on paper, any of these elements, that is that revolutionary.
Sure.
But the execution of it and the pacing and the score and the art design and the voice acting, it's excellent. It's an excellent game with an excellent story. The gameplay I would describe as it's like if Nathan Drake were in Silent Hill.
Wow.
Because you still have all the fun, like, so it's adventure cover, it's climbing.
It's cover-based shooting.
There is some cover-based shooting. Yeah. So that gives it the Nathan Drake, the Uncharted element.
Sure.
But you are exploring terrible, scary places that are right. full of danger. And you know, a lot of survival horror games in the past several years have lost the survival aspect, the aspect of where...
Because of the scarcity of resources, basically.
Yeah, that was the yeah. big element of them, a right. defining element of the early genre, the right. early Resident Evil games, early Silent Hill games, and they all just ended up turning into action games. This one is very much, you can play the game for 3 hours and have 6 bullets in your gun.
Damn.
And not find any more ammo or health items, and it really feels, you really feel like you're struggling to survive. I strongly recommend playing The Last of Us.
Damn it. All right.
In the case of you, Lugo, yeah. I strongly recommend you sit here and watch me play it.
I'm actually planning that when you upgrade to the PS4, that I will somehow inherit your PS3, and then I will go back and slowly play all those games that I just didn't get around to playing.
All of the exclusives. Go back and play.
Yeah, like Heavy Rain.
Infamous.
Yeah, sure.
All right. I had plans to turn my old PS3 into a little robot buddy.
Oh. What do you mean a robot buddy?
I don't want to talk about this on air.
Fair enough.
I'm learning some things about robotics.
They're just, yeah, when you say that, I know it's time to move on. Yeah. E3 happened.
E3 happened.
We're not going to talk about it too much because the Nerdy Show crew have done a 4-episode podcast covering every detail of the E3 that you could possibly want.
So please go to nerdyshow.com and find the episodes from the Mothership Show of this
The Mothership whole, Show, yes.
The Nerdy Show proper.
Yeah, it's four episodes. I think they're both just over an hour each. All I'm going to say is that I'm fucking really excited to be a gamer right now.
Yeah.
Everything that's coming out of Microsoft, everything that's coming out of Sony just has me happy as a pig in shit.
Everything looks really amazing.
Just the stuff that's even coming out for this holiday season has me excited, let alone the stuff that I can look forward to in the coming months with Xbox One and the new PS4.
Yeah.
I've already drank the Microsoft Kool-Aid, so I've already hitched my horse to that system. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really excited to have like cable and my game and Skype and all of that integrated seamlessly. I can't tell you why, though. It's like I've never done those things at the same time, but I'm really excited at the prospect that I get to do all those things at the same time.
Yeah, you didn't know you needed these. Now right. you're getting them.
Now I'm getting them. I'm a little concerned as a gamer about their very nebulous DRM policy, mm-hmm. but I'm going to not talk about it because that's exactly what it is. It's very nebulous.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know. Microsoft doesn't even really know what that means just yet.
No.
So I'm kind of hoping that they're going to define that in a way that makes me as a gamer not shameful for being an Xbox sort of loyal fan, essentially.
I was excited about the stuff that I did hear about. I didn't really follow the E3 coverage so closely
right.
because I have a Facebook account.
It just kind of blew
Here
up.
Here it is. This is what my Facebook account was for the week of E3. It was every single person just echoing all of the exact verbatim bullet points about the pros and cons of the Xbox One and the PS4.
Right.
And really just using that as a platform to tout their brand loyalty that yeah. they already had. In yeah. many cases, you already know which next generation console you're going to get if you're already committed. But I got so annoyed. And I get so annoyed when people start fights about the Microsoft versus Mac operating system,
or
people start fights about Xbox versus PS4 when they show their new products and they have their like, this one does this and this one does this, and people are fighting about it, or like, you know, reciting the same bullet points so that they can talk about how their chosen product is superior to
yeah.
the other one. You realize you are spending energy defining yourself by the products that you buy.
Right.
If you already know what you're going to buy, then just buy it and
be happy.
Yeah,
be happy
we're not
with your choice.
We're not like, forming tribes. There's not going to be a war. Both of these products are going to be on the market, and we're all going to live together.
Well, I will. I will say this. I think this is the first console generation where I'm going to be a two console household. I think.
What are you, a Rockefeller all of a sudden?
Well, I'm gonna buy the. I'm gonna buy the PS1.
Did your tumors turn into Benjamins?
I'm going to buy the Xbox One at launch.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna save my pennies. And as soon as I'm able, I'm going to get a PS4.
It'll be, all right, I'll make you a deal.
What's
up? Because I typically don't like the idea of buying a new console at launch just because it's going to be so expensive. And then a few months later, you're going to get a lot more memory with the new version of it. I'm still going to buy a PS4 at launch because I'm not going to be able to stand being left out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason why I'm doing it.
You get the Xbox One, I'm going to come over and you're going to show me all the awesome stuff it does. And I'm going to say, awesome! And then I'm going to get the PS4 and you're going to come over here and show you all the awesome stuff it does. And you're going to be like, awesome!
Well, I'm really, really excited of the stuff that's coming out of Sony. Like, they are knocking it out of the park. I mean, they are almost, if E3 was a debate of technology and games and what's possible, then PS4, I think, really kind of took it this year.
Okay.
They really came out of the gate swinging, and they, I think, made me kind of jealous that I'm not a PS person.
Well, not yet.
Well, not yet anyway, but I will be. But I'm really excited. Like, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I'm really excited for the new Assassin's Creed game.
Wait, but that's a current generation.
No, I know, but like I've drank the AC Kool-Aid.
Sure.
And I'm going to play.
It's just going to be a palette swap of the last game.
It's
going to
be a palette swap.
Like all of the in between Assassin's Creed game. I know, I'll probably
I'm going to play the shit out of it. I can't wait for Watch Dogs. That looks fucking amazing.
Oh, man. Watch Dogs. That first
Watch
trailer.
Dogs looks amazing.
Did that first trailer come at E3 last year? Like, that trailer's...
They had... No, no. They
it
had...
Was like a game, it was like a gameplay video.
It was that club, and then it was part of a scene that happened outside.
Yeah.
But this is the first proper trailer that they made for it.
It looks amazing.
And it looks fucking amazing.
Amazing.
I love how every time he takes out his gun, he puts his mask on because he means business.
I'm going to play that.
I wish I had the titles all in front of me, but there's a giant robot game. The internet's is yelling at me right now. It's a single player story in a multiplayer game.
Okay.
And it's giant robots and little guys running around. Fuck, the internet's going to... I know the internet's screaming at me. Nelson, you fucking idiot.
I guess we'll have to put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. I'm just really excited. I'm excited for this holiday season. There's a lot of game. I'm going to have an empty wallet come this holiday season.
Sure.
I know what I'm getting you already.
Aww.
For the Christmas.
Is it a crossbow?
Do you want a crossbow?
I'm never going to use it. I just want it. No, you know what I want?
Because now I'm considering my... I'm reconsidering.
I don't really
choice.
Want a crossbow. I want an AT-AT.
Really?
I've wanted one since I was a child.
Dude, you're getting an AT-AT for Christmas.
The AT-AT was my white whale of Christmas presents.
Do you care what form it comes in? Like, do you want, like, does it matter if it's a Lego AT-AT?
No.
Or do you want, like, a vintage AT-AT? Or do you want, like, a re-released AT-AT? Or...
It has to be the one for action figures.
Okay.
Not the Lego. It can be a vintage one. Good luck. Or it can be one of the like sort of newer versions of it.
Right. There's been
still
some newer versions out.
Action figures.
Yeah.
I have wanted that toy since I was a child, and I'll never let go of how much I always wanted that toy. And like my mom spoiled me. I got like I had the Millennium Falcon, and I had a lot of like
you know what toy that I always wanted as an adult I never got as a child. It was the G.I. Joe Space Shuttle.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And as an adult, I actually ended up buying it. And then I ended up giving it away.
Huh. So it didn't.
Because once I had it.
You thought it was going to fill a hole in your
heart. No, yeah, because I owned it. And then I realized that I was still empty inside.
Yeah.
And then I gave it away.
Well, there's a thing for that. And it's called heroin.
Oh,
and that
all right.
Fills that hole in your heart.
Well, we'll talk after the show. What is this thing you call heroin? But I'm pretty excited. Summer's around the corner. I've got now that I no longer have hospital stuff to deal with, I need to get busy being a performer and a magician and start socializing and getting out there and summer movies. And I'm really want to enjoy summer this year. I don't really do summer. I don't go out and do a lot of things. I'm more of a night owl.
Yeah.
But I want to go out and I want to do summer things, basically.
It's funny you should bring this up because I started doing something way outside of my comfort zone for this summer.
Oh. You started your own theater company or something?
No, that is within my comfort zone.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
There is a group of people who have started sort of an amateur baseball league.
Oh.
It's based in Brooklyn, but there are people like are forming teams based on their neighborhoods because everybody also has this weird sort of tribe mentality about like their neighborhood loyalty.
Oh yeah, yeah. So roller derby, same thing.
Yeah. This group of people started an amateur baseball league.
Oh.
In Brooklyn, and
So you're gonna go see games.
Oh, it's more than that. And just so that you frame it, it is kind of, I hate using this word, but it is kind of a hipster version of baseball. It's basically what those Quidditch weirdos do in the off season. When they want to play a real sport. So they all hang out in Brooklyn and they drink cheap beer and we go and
they all
and
drink play baseball. Pabst.
So I got involved in that. And yeah,
you're playing in a baseball team?
I'm actually coaching a team.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
I'm coaching.
You're coaching a team.
I'm coaching an amateur baseball team.
How the fuck are you qualified to coach a baseball team?
All right, internet, I have a confession to make. This is a kind of a little dirty secret about me, and it's not really dirty. I just don't bring it up because I know people will use it to challenge my nerd cred, which again isn't a real thing. But you would be shocked to learn, and I'm sure you're about to be shocked to learn.
Right.
I was actually kind of a star baseball player in my high school baseball team.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I was.
I did not know that.
How did I not know that? I was kind of a star player. I played shortstop for my high school.
What was your high school team?
We had one of those racist mascots. We were the Red Raiders.
Oh dear.
So it was all Native American imagery.
That's horrible.
So
wait, hold on. So I don't even. Okay. I
know it's a lot to process.
It's a lot
right?
to process.
I've never actually talked, so the internet knows this. I have not told Lugo about my history as a high school baseball star until now.
How did you even get? Well, okay. Put aside the fact that anybody even knew this about you and approached you to coach.
I volunteered. Nobody approached me.
Oh, you volunteered.
I belong to a couple of like groups, and uh-huh. people were talking about this thing starting up, and some people.
So you just
it was some people from Astoria.
Oh.
Specifically, were like, well, we want to form a team for this.
Oh, that's the connection.
We want to put together a team for this Brooklyn-based amateur baseball league, and I was like, oh, well, I'm in. And then everybody kind of like started chatting, comparing notes about what their credits were, and
you just chimed in that you played. You're a star, and then
I was a star athlete.
So. Why coaching and not playing?
I'm not in very good shape. I imagine.
Well,
what's the name?
What's the name of the team?
The Astoria Astros.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's actually not named after the Houston team. It's named after the Jetsons' dog. We're gonna have the dog on our jerseys.
Well, fuck. You know what? I mean, I actually happen to love baseball.
I had no idea you were a baseball fan.
Well,
that's as shocking to me for you to learn that I was an athlete and now a baseball coach. It's shocking for me to know that you were ever that you're a fan of baseball.
Well, I love baseball in theory. Like I don't watch the games on television very often,
uh-huh.
but I will often go to watch the Brooklyn Cyclones play.
Sure.
And if I ever get like free Yankee tickets, I'm the happiest guy in the world.
Sure.
My dad used to take me when I was a kid all the time. I'd love to go see one of these games. I mean,
sure.
Have you met the players yet? Can you tell me the guys' names on the team, and so that when I go to Brooklyn, I could be able to know who they are and follow along with the game? And
sure. I mean, they're a little weird. Like, I don't know if I know everybody's sort of legal name because, I mean, as strange as it seems, they give ball players these days pretty peculiar names.
Oh, really? Like funny names?
Like nicknames, like pet names. Like, for example, on my team, we have Who's on First. What's on second? I don't know on third.
Well, that's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the team.
I'm telling you. Who's on first? What's on second? Yeah. I don't know is on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first.
Who?
The fella playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What were you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman on first?
Certainly.
Then who's playing first?
Absolutely.
Okay. When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. And why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
Who gets it?
Why shouldn't he? Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes, after all, the man earns it.
Who does?
Absolutely.
Look, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, don't change the players around.
I'm not changing nobody.
Now, take it easy.
No, look. What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him.
How the hell did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mentioned the third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No. Who's playing first?
Will you stay off of first, will you?
Well, what do you want me to do?
What's the guy's name on third base?
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go again. Back on third.
Well, I can't change their name.
Will you please stay on third base?
Please. Now, what is it you want to know?
What is the fellow's name on third base?
What is the fella's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
All right, look. You got an outfield?
Sure.
your team got a good outfield?
Absolutely.
Okay, the left fielder's name?
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who's playing first?
Stay out of the infield.
Don't mention any names out here.
I want to know what's the fellow's name in left field.
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base. Now take it easy, man.
Look, and the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because?
Oh, he's center field.
Wait a minute. You got a pitcher on the team?
Oh, well, wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
I don't know. Tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching? Who
Look,
is
Look, I on... will break your arm if you say who's on first.
Then why come up here and ask?
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got a catcher?
Yes.
Yes. The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Oh, that's all. We got a couple of days on our team. That's all.
Well, I can't help that. All right. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, you got a catcher.
Yes.
You know, I'm a good catcher, you know.
I know that.
I would like to play for your team.
Well, I might arrange that.
I would like to catch. Now, me being a good catcher, tomorrow's pitching on the team, and I'm catching.
Yes.
Okay. Tomorrow throws the ball, and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball, and I throw it to who?
Now, that is the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about!
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is throw it to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Who's got it?
Naturally.
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 Okay.
Now you've got it.
Yeah, I pick up the ball, and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
Okay.
All right.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Well, that's it. Say it that way.
That's what I said.
I did not.
I said I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Yes.
So I throw the ball to first base and naturally gets it.
No, you throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Naturally. Well, say it that way.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't get excited.
Don't get. Okay. I throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
He better get it.
All right. Now, don't get excited. Take it easy.
Harumph.
Harumph.
Now, I throw the ball to first base. Whoever it is drops the ball. So the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to Watt? Watt throws it to I don't know. I don't know throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yeah, it could be.
Another guy gets up, and it's a long fly ball to Bacaz. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a damn.
What was that?
I said I don't give a damn.
Oh, that's our shortstop. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our guests in just a moment.
Coils of Tesla. Went as Darth Vader for Halloween. Rides around on a powder blue Vespa. That's you. You're a nerd. That's you. A super legitimate nerd. Buffy, Battlestar, and Doctor Who.
Exterminate, exterminate.
Elvish Navi and Klingon. Oh. Yelled winter is coming at Comic Con while keeping Hal Jordan's ring on. That's me.
Younger, I used to have dreams that Trini, the yellow Power Ranger, would come to my bedside and teach me karate. I was 17 years old.
I'm not fooled by your LASIK. They're not fooled by my LASIK. Nobody's fooled by our LASIK. It's true. Our attention to detail is absurd. Shazam! Excelsior.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guests on the program this month are the members of a musical comedy duo based out of Astoria, Queens. Please welcome to the program Charles Stunning and Mark Robert Turner, collectively known as Afterbirth Monkey.
Yeehaw!
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Oh, my.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Really good to be here.
So this is the first time we've had two people on the podcast. So just so that our listeners are aware of whose voice is who, which one of you is Charles Stunning and which one of you is Mark David Chapman?
Wow, that was a really good try. It's Mark Robert Turner.
Mark Robert Turner.
Please introduce yourselves, members of Afterbirth Monkey.
I am Charles Stunning, and I am a female. Weird sauce, right?
I'm Mark Robert Turner.
And he's very much a boy.
I have a very high voice, though.
No, it's so cute.
Is that unusual? Do people find it strange when they realize that a member of this band, the one named Charles, is a woman?
It's a little weird. Sometimes I take it easy on new fans when they meet us, and I say, "Oh, hi, I'm Charlie," because I think that's a little more acceptable. But the name Charles means a lot to me. I mean, it's obviously a stage name. My parents did not name me Charles, but like, it's just to protect my very conservative family from sort of the subject material that we're singing about. So I was like, I adopted this name, but I mean, I will go by Charlie or Charles, depending. It really varies on how I feel about a certain situation when I'm talking to someone new.
I think it always also surprises the audience that the person with the more manly name is so much hotter.
Wait, Mark is a really manly name.
It's kind of manly.
I would like to argue that Mark is a very manly name.
I would like to counterpoint that Mark is not a manly name.
Well,
it is.
I agree.
You know what makes it so manly? It is both a noun and a verb.
Two out of four kids in this podcast agree that Mark is a manly name.
You just exploded my mind.
So, I like 50%. Names like that are both nouns and verbs, sort of like dot.
Oh.
Moving right along. So we heard your song during the break. Nerd Hymn, is that the title of it?
Yeah.
So tell us about it. How did it come about? Was that something you just kind of, because it seems to define you as a group, or does it?
Oh my God. Well, this kind of can lead into the origin story of
Afterbirth
Monkey.
Yeah.
Because it's actually one of the very, 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 very first songs we ever did as a band. Mm-hmm.
I had a production company called Scratchy Dog Productions that was shooting like comedy videos and whatever, and I was working with Charles, and I was like, hey, why don't we do some music? Let's like increase the ability to reach people by going out and actually meeting them.
And I knew of a couple open mic spots because I was running around with various comedians and musicians and just being a part of like the artistic scene, and I was like, hey, I know this really great open mic place,
and I was like, I have a guitar, and she was like, I've got this really great song.
I wrote the song about being nerdy on my guitar, which, by the way, I'm terrible at guitar, so it's all of the chords I know in one song.
It's like every single chord in the dictionary.
That aren't bar chords.
It's a hard
because
song
I cannot play bar
really?
Chords.
Yeah, no, it really is.
She's made me a better player by playing that song.
Yeah.
So he had a song already that he had done with Scratchy Dog about dumb girls with big boobs being awesome. So we sort of... the two song open mic limit blurity blue
did it, there it was.
And I was like, oh, I have this song about being a nerd, and I taught it to him as best I could,
and it quickly became my favorite song in the entire universe.
Honey, I absolutely love you.
I showered to it, the nerd hymn.
Man,
I do horrible things to it.
I know you do.
I mean, I gotta say, I definitely, the first time I saw you guys perform was at a bar here in Astoria called Rapture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that
and,
bar.
I definitely responded. I really responded to all of the songs you did. And I feel like you're still using that the big boobs song.
We love it.
It's a song that's kind of, it was intended to be a joke about people who look so poorly on,
on
women.
No, and it's really, it's just a commentary on the kinds of people that are like, yeah, oh, big boobs, I love them.
Yeah.
Right. I never got the feeling that you guys were actually disparaging women, like busty women with low intelligence. I never got the feeling. And I know the audience doesn't know this because they're only hearing your voices, but I know from having interacted with you guys, you're not exactly the kind of people who would spend your time shaming and hating.
You're
I
dumb.
Feel like we need to rewrite that song to like be a sea shanty that says busty women with low intelligence are wonderful.
If you're going to make it a sea shanty, could you at some point note that you are traveling to the new world as an afterthought?
Oh, I love that.
We walked into the ship today to go to the new world.
The new world, that's
good. Something like that.
We've had requests to have to do all of our songs as children's songs.
We did.
And that
we
song
did.
Would be Smart Girls with Big Brains Are Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is a great children-friendly cover of your own song.
Let them grow up and learn the reality.
And they'll be ruined.
That's
they'll
adorable.
Be like,
hey,
I'll never, ever do it drunkenly in a bar.
You know, I feel... that your if you did make your material a little more G-rated, it would play very well. It would actually work very well as children's music because it's very fun. The songs are short. They're it's very easy to sing along with them. In fact, almost
major
impossible
chords.
To not sing along with them.
Major chords.
They're all major chords.
Like one or two minor chords.
And also, and they're funny. You guys are really charming on stage.
You're charming.
You're a lot of fun to look at for kids because Charles has pink hair, and you always wear bow ties. You're a very good-looking band.
Oh, hey. You know, one
you've
time...
You've just gotten the Shape of the Dark Lord's seal of approval.
And I just went Han Solo with it, and I went, we know.
Yeah.
We once... I don't want to gloat.
Oh, well.
I'm not going
to... No, this is your time to gloat.
Let's tell this story.
Okay.
So, we were... I mean, most of what we've done so far, we're still a relatively new band. We play a lot of open mics. We're like, oh, hey, there's this open mic somewhere. Let's just go play and garner some fans. Why not? And we went to this one bar. What was it called? I mean, can we like say what bar it was?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Arctica Bar was Arctica the name of the bar. I got that bar tattooed on my back because I'm so proud of this.
Name.
Wait, it's in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's in
Manhattan. Is it the bar that has that special where they put a name up on the board every day of the month, and if you show up and you have that first name, you get to drink for free?
What an awesome name.
What oh, that's that guy wait, that's awesome. A name on the board.
That's actually Antarctica.
It's this bar called Arctica Bar. We're sitting at the bar waiting to go. You know, we're waiting for our turn. And
I'm gonna tell about how weird he was after we played.
There's actually a very significant transition in how he talked to us after we had played. So what happened was we were sitting there hanging out, being very attractive as we are.
Apparently.
And this allegedly. Gentleman well, came up that, and was talking to us. Obviously, he was very intoxicated.
He was intoxicated. He was wasted.
Like, okay. He was MC Schlammered. Like, just like, holy goodness. And he was just talking to us, being like, friendly drunk guy, whatever. Yeah, yeah. He showed us pictures of his kid.
On his iPhone.
He was like, look at my child. It was at the beach or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It was a pool.
It was a pool. Thank you. It was a pool. Whatever. it doesn't matter. It's like showing us pictures of his kid. So we get up and we play our set.
Uh-huh.
And we come back to our position at the bar. And he starts talking at us. Very differently.
Differently.
The way he was addressing us.
We had wooed him.
We had won him over.
Oh, really?
With body our words. And soul. I don't remember what songs we did for
I
that.
Have no clue.
It doesn't matter.
Nor should we ever discover what that list was, because it unlocks Pandora's box.
Yeah, Hold on.
So he had seen you play.
He saw us play.
Okay.
And he looked at me and he pointed at Mark and he goes, he's like gay, right? He's like gay. And I was like,
this is post show.
This is post show. Okay. Our set where we apparently blew his mind. And I was like, yes. He is.
Yes, but, I am, sir.
But I don't understand what your lead up is. Yes. I mean, we have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
I am a straight girl. You are a gay man. It's fine.
And to try to, like, deter him, I gave him a sticker. I was like, here's one of our
stickers. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about the sticker.
I was like, here's one of our stickers. And he was like, wow. And he bit it. He bit the sticker.
He
stuck it in his mouth and he bit the sticker.
That alone is a profoundly different response or treatment you were getting pre-show.
Yeah,
pre-show.
I was like, am I going to...
You handed him a thing that he put in his mouth that was not food.
He stuck it in his mouth and bit it.
And we were like, don't eat that. That's not food.
That is not a sealed sticker. You're going to get that ink in your body.
Oh, God. Because our stickers are paper. They're like printer paper.
Printer paper.
We, like, ingested printer ink, essentially. But he's not going away. He's not going to go away. We just are dealing with him. But he starts sort of, like, getting this, like, glint thing in his eye. And he's like, you guys, like... I have to, like, move like he's moving.
Yeah,
I'm like, literally just, like, swaying and shaking at the same time. For the listeners at home, I'm swaying and shaking. And he's like, I just, like, you guys want to, like, hang out? And it's like, I just want to hang out. I just want to have sex.
Oh!
We were asked for a threesome!
I looked at him without missing a beat, and I just went, that is very ambitious of you, sir. That is incredibly ambitious.
I was unbuckling my belt. And
you're like, jackpot!
Jackpot threesome!
Which is really interesting, because that was sort of the inspiration for one of the new songs on our new album that we're currently working on. That's called Man Dies Defecating.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Wait.
Man
so wait, there's this
dies
wait. Hold on. Before we get into that, so there is a song about this encounter or about this.
It is.
I feel this may be a stretch to say, but this gentleman.
He was a gentleman because he showed us a picture of his kid first on his iPhone.
Oh, that so then it's like, is that carte blanche? Can you do anything you want after? Here's a picture of my child. Now I want to know what your insides look like.
I want to feel you from the inside. Gross. Oh, my God. I hated that.
Wait,
so
what is the song about him that you've, or about this in?
Well, Schaefer the Dark Lord, it is a rap song.
It's that song.
That song was inspired because 9 times out of 10, if boys who are new to seeing us
in the vicinity, even like through walls at times,
to want to put their dicks in us. I mean, I understand musicians, sexy, right, blah blah blah, but we're literally singing about.
I sing about how small my dick is.
Right.
They still wanna. They wanna put it in us. It's very strange.
Here's the thing: seeing somebody perform on stage, seeing somebody perform on stage and wanting to do sex to them, that's not. That's not an unusual thing.
No.
The
no.
unusual thing no. is the part where the guy tells you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Collectively. I want to have sex with both of you.
With all of you.
After he quizzes you about your sexuality.
Yeah.
Yes.
And shows you pictures
He's
of his children.
He's just checking in. He didn't want to freak us out.
Very strange. What's really funny is I actually have an OkCupid account. Oh. And if I really want to hook him, I give them a link to one of our YouTube videos, and I'm like, you're going to want to date me now.
You're going to want to do it to me. And then all of a sudden, I start getting phone calls. It's my ace in the hole.
That's pretty much it.
What? So, wait, so this is not an isolated incident?
No, it happens.
You've been propositioned
all the time.
Really?
All the time. It's especially, I mean, an uncomfortable amount of times. But especially me.
She's really hot.
No.
She's really hot. I'm like, my dick is small. And they're like, I will fuck you to fuck her.
You guys are both really hot.
Oh. True.
You get right the fuck out of here.
Are you kidding?
You can't kick me out of here. This is my, all right.
This is your studio.
Studio 6C.
Thank you. Keeping that illusion alive. I appreciate that.
Listen, I've listened to like 2 of these. I did my research.
Thank you.
I'm very considerate.
You know, I one time had an experience where I was at a show, and I was in Texas, and after the show, I you know, people from the audience, as you know, people from the audience tend to be kind of affectionate sometimes.
Sure. Oh, I was going to go with wasted.
Yes.
Wasted.
Well, all right. Tomato.
That tends to go hand in hand.
Yeah, but yeah. I had it was one show, like they kind of like hint at it, and they use this kind of vague language to kind of imply like, I enjoyed your funny songs and now I would like to have sex with you. But they find like vague ways that kind of like wink wink sort of ways. Ooh. I did a show in Texas, and this woman after the show said, "I want to give you a blowjob." And I said, I responded
That's
with,
vague.
What? No. Hold on. One, because I was incredulous, and two, because I wasn't sure that that's exactly what she said. She was slurring a little bit.
Oh.
So then she clarified. She's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I want to S your D. So she thought that because I said what, I didn't know what the word blowjob meant.
Oh, I love that. But I love that she thinks S your D is so much more clear.
No, she didn't say that.
S your D could be like,
no, she didn't. Actually, she didn't say that. That's my, that was, I censored that.
I don't think she used letters.
Yeah, she didn't. I said that because I'm uncomfortable saying those words in front of this audience.
I would like to go on record in a room full of musicians that as a magician, after an act, after a set, after a show, I have never been propositioned by anyone drunk or sober to do anything sexual ever.
You know what?
I've watched you perform.
I might have.
You just made my night, man.
I was going to be really nice and be like, next time you perform magic, Lugo, I'm going to come up and proposition you.
No, but you're just doing it because you're being friendly.
I know.
You're
doing it out of pity. You're not
actually pity.
You were like, you're only being friendly. She's like, yeah, it's pity.
This podcast is over.
No, it's not.
No. Listen, you threw a quarter at me the other day.
That's true. I did. You asked for it, though.
It was really funny.
You said, throw money at me, and I threw money at you.
I know, but I told you to throw a nickel at me.
I didn't have a nickel. Core's the only thing I had on me.
So, Afterbirth Monkey, when you tell the story about the drunk man who showed you pictures of his children and then and then inexplicably invited you to a threesome in, I'm going to assume, his pickup truck.
Yeah, probably.
That makes the story so much better.
It does. Open. I don't. Not like a camper thing over it. Like an open, like open
under the stars.
Are you okay?
You know, maybe.
I'm dying. I was thinking about sex in a pickup truck.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I know. I read your diary before this interview. I knew all the buttons to hit.
God, I knew I shouldn't have hid that in my purse. So you read it before me, you jerk. I wanted to read it.
You indicated before that you were like that it was particularly, you were particularly incredulous with this proposition because you had just done a song about how small your dick is.
Tell us about that
and the accuracy of the song.
I think we did that song. I don't know if we did that song at that set.
I feel like we did.
Are you sure? I think we did Nerd and then Dumb Girls. Because everybody loves when we sing Dumb Girls. Because we get them to clap along. And
oh, they love audience participation.
What if it's been like a really horrible surprise for him to learn that my dick is so small?
Well, hold on.
Is this
for comedic purposes? Are you being
like Howard Stern? Or is this just bombs
when
here?
When I say it's like a pimple on the top of my balls.
Oh, we haven't done that song yet.
I thought we did. Didn't we do that?
No.
We haven't plugged it yet.
Well, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen,
wait, what's the title of the song?
Something that ruins it all.
Here to give us a musical interlude is Afterbirth Monkey's Something That Ruins It All.
This song goes out to anybody who's ever been in a relationship.
And realized it's not easy.
Your mother really likes me and your friends all think I'm cool.
My father almost shit himself when he heard you graduated top of your school.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know.
We like all the same movies and I catch you when you fall.
But something is amiss here, something that ruins it all.
I have a tiny dick.
It's an itty bitty prick.
My dick's so small it looks like a pimple on the top of your balls. A tiny dick.
A skinny dick. A tiny dick.
I spend hours and hours pleasuring you,
but nothing would do the trick.
That's because you orgasm internally
and you have this tiny dick. I told you if you trimmed your pubes it might not look so bad.
So I did what you said, and when I pulled down my pants you began to laugh. It's an itty bitty prick.
Your dick's so small it looks like a pimple on the top of your balls.
A tiny dick.
A skinny dick.
A tiny dick.
If only it were thicker, I might not feel forlorn. But since I love him and it's so freaking tiny, I mean it's like tragic.
I guess we'll just watch porn.
And then I'll masturbate.
What?
And then I'll take a bath.
Because I have a tiny dick.
It's an itty bitty prick.
Your dick's so small it looks like a pimple on the top of your balls. A tiny dick.
A teeny weeny. A tiny dick. Is that a tick?
No, it's my dick.
A tiny dick. A tiny, 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 tiny dick.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Afterbirth Monkey's Something That Ruins It All.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's real.
Seriously? Well, no, I don't want to get into your anatomy per se, but, I mean, how much of your personal life is part of your comedy, I guess? Like, I mean, because you do have some very surreal songs that are just kind of out there. Like, how much from real life are you drawing for your music?
I feel like... There are moments that we've experienced that create the music. Did either of you guys went to school for musical theater? Did you go to school for theater? I went to school for theater, and like the idea behind, you did too.
Yeah, I did.
The idea behind music is that like you sing when you can't speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've walked down the street, and I'll be honest, like, for all that people sing about love and whatever, there have been times where I've walked down the street, and the only time that I've ever heard a human actually singing a song, they were like, "That bathroom was disgusting." Like,
it's true.
It's always something like really
it's very strange. It just comes out of just random moments where you just don't know what to do with yourself. What's really funny is one song in particular, the taco song that we have, came out of me walking down the street with my best friend, and I was like, you know what? If I could just eat tacos forever and not get fat and die, I would literally do that. I would eat tacos every single day. And she was like, that needs to be a song. And now it has turned into one of our favorite songs.
It's my favorite
arguably good. Your hit.
Yes, it's what's going to make us single. All
it's your single, yeah.
The
yeah.
monies.
All the monies.
All the monies for that taco song. And so, like, that is actually born out of a real life like moment.
We've literally every time that we start to sit down and talk about stuff, or
yeah, if, and
most of our songs have been born out of us walking down the street and her saying something and me going, "Let's
that
write that."
That needs to be a song.
Do it.
And my so
we
brain
sit down
ridiculous.
And we do it and we write.
These words come out of my mouth and I have no control over them.
Including your song about the time traveling Meryl Streep.
Oh yes, that was totally you, man. That was your incredible.
Meryl Streep is one of the most incredible actresses that's
she's
ever
existed.
She's not
of the
earth.
There's no person alive
no
who would argue
here.
That.
No
she's
argument
like,
here.
She's like, I need another room for all my awards. I'm Meryl Streep.
I'm too famous to play celebrity.
that's okay. Yeah. So we were playing a gig and there was a girl there who was friends with Mamie Gummer, who is Meryl Streep's daughter.
Yes. Yeah. One
Meryl Streep's last name is Gummer. We know
Gummer.
That.
Yeah, because
Meryl,
her
who lives in Connecticut, we know where you
us.
Live, Meryl Streep.
we're coming and, for you, Meryl.
And this girl was invited to a Thanksgiving or Easter party.
It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it was Thanksgiving.
And everybody at the party was sitting down to play the game Celebrity. Have you guys ever played Celebrity?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The game started. They started the first person, and Meryl Streep goes,
I'm too famous to play this game.
And walks out of the room.
Has to leave the room.
That's so disappointing.
I know.
No, but
right?
Is it like,
but I mean,
like because for her, when she goes
it,
to like
I mean,
try to
like
talk about, she's like, oh, like, Kevin Bacon, you mean that like, guy that like likes like pastrami Stanley sandwiches?
I don't know. Like, oh, I get it. Because she knows she has too much inside info.
She's
too busy
making
everybody.
Movies and winning awards to actually communicate about them on a human level.
You know, he has that little shih tzu that like barks all the time and everyone's like,
you know, he has a recurring nightmare involving a Ferris wheel.
Oh, and then suddenly I'm like, oh, it's Stanley. Okay. Cool. Stanley Tucci, right?
Stanley Tucci, right? That's the guy you're talking
right?
about.
Stanley Tucci has two dicks. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
I love Stanley
Common
Tucci.
Common knowledge.
Yeah,
weirdest.
So I guess what's your artistic process? Do you obviously come up with some kind of theme or concept first?
Yeah.
Is it lyrics and then music, or do you have a catchy
Ooh.
Tune that you fit the lyrics to, or what's your process here?
I mean, it really varies. Like, sometimes I'll just be somewhere and I'll text him suddenly and be like, we need to write a song about this.
Yeah.
That would be really great.
I love texting you while you're at work and just, like,
I
sending
know,
you a list
you,
of lyrics.
Like, blow my mind. I like that I got to do that to you with the country song.
Yeah,
that we
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I have it. I have it so hard. Ha-ha. And I sent it to you. And I was like, he's going to die. He's going to just...
I died and then shit my pants.
Everywhere.
Everyone was with me.
Posthumous pants shooting.
Bring me back
to life. We're very much... like a symbiotic relationship
yeah.
of making music, like not just one of us is like writing the lyrics, like we're taking turns, you know, like I wrote the entire Nerd Hymn, but you wrote all of Dumb Girls with Big Boobs,
but
we collaborated like, very 50-50 on the taco song
yeah. I feel like the best stuff comes out
you
of when
wrote,
we sit down
you wrote
together.
The chords for the country song and I wrote
yeah.
the lyrics for the country song, so I mean we're just sort of like shuffling through making
yeah, like
music,
on BMI, like when you like talk about like what you wrote and what I always,
oh, when you have to assign percentages
so
to songwriters,
yeah,
that's
so
it's
weird.
So weird.
Yeah.
But everything I just write, I write us. I'm never like, I did that, and then she did that, and then this was this.
Well, we really need to sit down and break it down, because I really wrote the hook and one verse, so I think you should be getting like 35%.
So weird.
No, it's ridiculous, and
At the very beginning, is it okay if I talk about this?
Yeah, I wouldn't say names, but I would certainly
talk about
it.
Yeah, at the very beginning, we sort of thought that it would be really fun to include people who would just come in and out, and... You know, like, it ended up being there were four of us at a time.
Yeah, the band was four on one performance.
The band was four for one single performance, and you could just feel the difference in the energy.
It's also hard to get four people together to do anything.
Yeah, schedules are difficult in New York, and I mean, I begrudge nothing to these
people.
Was it not...
I guess my question is the difference between two and four, was it just not a cohesive group?
It sounded really good. It was a nice group, and everybody sounded really good. It was literally just like we would get together and rehearse,
and we were going to
schedules were
kind of
difficult, and it literally was just like, because I'm able to call her at 10 and be like, hey, do you want to go over this? Or I'm able to text her all day long and be like, what do you think about this?
And like.
Because I don't know, it just...
We just sort of...
Happened.
Love each other.
Love each other. It's good.
But it wasn't the same dynamic and same energy with the other people.
This is super easy.
Yeah. Like,
it's always
us,
easy. Do you want to get together? Like, yes. No. Like, yes. No. Whatever.
We're just
and then,
a couple assholes who are like, oh, yeah, whatever. We often don't say no to one another.
Never. I try to always say yes.
You know, even if it's something that's I don't necessarily agree with, or something you don't necessarily agree with, it's like, okay, well, we'll try it. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. And
it's like the yes and that game.
Yeah, mm. Oh, yeah.
Do you ever play that game?
Yes and.
Because if you have a different like, oh, how can we say that in a different way? It just then becomes us and not me and not just her. It's everything.
Wow. Well, then it seems like I can't speak to your former bandmates. I never met them. I never saw Afterbirth Monkey outside of you being a duo. But I'm saying I just can't imagine there's anything they brought to the table that can't be replaced with either pre-recorded tracks or drum machines or... I just feel like there's no reason to possibly compromise this incredible chemistry that you guys have, not only in the songwriting, but on stage. The chemistry of you guys on stage is it really sells the material.
Really,
I mean, the material's funny on its own.
You.
The live show is...
We love fucking around.
It's so charming and fun and wonderful.
I just want to talk to you all the time. Just like converse with you on stage. I just want to like say words at you.
And you guys have a couple of gigs coming up pretty soon, don't you? Like,
yeah. Well, we've actually started hosting something.
Yeah,
called Afterbirth Monkey is hosting a thing.
Hosting a thing.
Right. So that's the name of all the Facebook events.
Afterbirth Monkey is hosting a thing.
What is that?
Because we like to be vague.
It's Facebook.com/AfterbirthMonkey.
/AfterbirthMonkey.
It's Facebook.com/AfterbirthMonkey. You're all gonna go like it.
Yeah. Like it's the right thing.
So what is Afterbirth Monkey host a thing?
Will that link go in the blurgity blue?
Yeah, we'll put
the
show notes.
Show notes. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for when we were in your apartment before we got here. I was like, they're gonna put it in the blurgity blue, and I just called it the blurgity blue.
Yes, we will definitely put it in the blurgity blue.
Right in the blurgity blue. Just stick it right in there.
So what is Afterbirth Monkey host?
Right in the blurgity blue.
Right in the blurgity.
What is Afterbirth Monkey host a thing?
Yeah, we pulled a bunch. We've gone out on several places and meeting everyone that we meet and sort of come into contact with is just this beautiful mecca of amazingness. And
it's such a beautiful community we've stumbled upon.
And we're pulling in people. So it's music, it's comedy, it's stand-up, it's everything.
Yeah.
And it's just come together and do stuff. Show us your thing. And so that's essentially how
would be a good name for the show. Afterbirth Monkey is Show Us Your Thing.
Well, that's the way we announce everybody.
Oh, yeah. Show Us Your Thing.
Show us your things. So Shape of the Dark Lord, show us your thing.
Oh my God.
I don't
understand double entendre. I would just be like, okay.
When is the next one? Or something.
The next one is the 30th.
The 30th.
At Crescent Lounge at 7 p.m.
Is this going to be up before then?
This will air on the 27th.
Oh my God. Come to Afterbirth Monkey is hosting a thing at the Crescent Lounge here in Astoria.
It's free. Sunday, June 30th.
Yep. It's magical. Gonna be real. We have some really incredible performers.
So many good people.
We have Another Dead Clown.
Another Dead Clown.
Which is a really lovely folk band.
Yeah, awesome.
We worked with one of the guitarists. Yeah.
Vossi Monpoint, she's on Broadway. Vossi, We're having her play and sing. And
we got a Gladstone, the first who MVPs. Writes for Crack.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's amazing.
We met him at an open mic, and we bonded over Doctor Who, which was
Doctor
really great.
Doctor Who and some beers.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really the way to meet people and bond.
Buy them beers.
Talk about Doctor Who. Get them shit-faced.
Can you confirm this, Luca?
That story checks out with me every single time.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that Nelson Lugo is wearing a Cyberman shirt right now.
Lugo always ends up wearing like a graphic tee that is like appropriate to a thing we're talking about on the podcast.
His shirt is a thing of beauty.
Purely by accident. It's the Planet Mondo Mondas Cyberman.
It's great.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah,
it's space.
I understand.
Wearing a dress. I look really nice.
Do you guys? Do you have an? You do look very nice.
Thank you.
You both look very nice.
He's wearing a bow tie, and I'm wearing.
He's always wearing a bow tie. Handsome fella.
We like to dress to impress.
So when is this album coming?
Ooh.
We don't know yet.
Oh, good. It's nice to not be the only one.
We
sat down tonight and wrote down
all the songs,
and we're re-recording
so many of them now. It's weird.
We're re-recording a few things, and what do you call that? What do you call it when you release an album that has like four or five songs on it?
An EP?
Like an EP.
And now we're releasing the LP.
Are some of those songs going to be on it?
Oh, yes.
You released a demo.
We released a demo, and now we're releasing.
You demoed those tracks, and now you're putting out these full length.
I mean, okay.
It's a 17-track album. This is going to be.
Damn.
Oh, my God. Really?
I know. Yeah. Oh, wow. So.
So you don't.
I was that's, so
it's
impressed.
It's
with
still
him.
In work. It's still a work in progress.
It is.
I understand,
it is.
And
it's
I know, and I don't just understand. I know firsthand, as does Lugo.
What's that?
That Ooh. You have you've been working on a music video for one of the songs.
Oh,
the famed Afterbirth Monkey taco song.
The taco song.
When can the internet expect to see the taco song video?
By the time
it'll already be out.
Oh, then it'll be in the show notes.
Friday, the link to that video.
Tuesday,
Tuesday,
and we're gonna drop it on the interwebs.
And so wait, so the name of the album is Man Dies Defecating.
Man Dies Defecating.
Our demo album is called Stuff About Stuff.
It's about stuff.
Yeah, and stuff.
But the video will be out, so check the show notes for Afterbirth Monkeys, the music video for Taco Song,
which, by the way,
features some cameos, lots of people, but both listeners of this program may spot a couple of cameos of people they recognize.
Yep.
One of them isn't actually a person.
We have one more song
of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tee up this song and tell listeners what they can expect?
That pretty much describes it.
Wait, so what's the name of the song?
It is called the Time Machine song.
The Time Machine
all of our songs. We call them something song. Like,
sure. It's like,
or is it If I Had a Time Machine?
I don't know.
We don't know yet. We're still
working out the title.
Yeah, the title is
pending.
We're gonna take a listen to it, performed live in our studio. But before we do, we just want to thank you so very much for stopping by the podcast.
Once again, it is
Robert Turner and Charles Stunning.
We were so excited to be invited.
Yeah.
We're not gonna lie. We were in Mark's apartment.
I didn't sleep very well last night.
I woke up and it was the first thing on my mind. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be on a podcast today. Everyone's gonna love us.
Hey, look, we're honored that anybody wants to come and hang out with us.
Oh, I want to hang out with you.
You will be a treat for all four listeners.
Can I just say that you are a sexy duo of podcasters.
Oh yeah,
oh, you guys.
I think you
might
have just entranced us.
Look, you guys already got the gig.
Oh, yeah, you're already here.
You're already on the show. You don't have to.
Well, they need to know what's happening when the show's over.
Force
things. Wait, are you propositioning us?
Do you have a sticker I can eat?
We did bring bananas.
I just want to hang out.
Sex.
You know.
Sex.
But anyway.
Ambitious.
After Birth Monkey, I want to thank you so much for coming and being on the show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is After Birth Monkey performing If I Had a Time Machine.
So Charles and I were talking about time machines recently, and I was saying, like, if I had a time machine, what I would probably do is, I don't know, like, go back in time and find my grandfather who passed away recently and, like, give him more hugs. Or find me as a kid, like, in an arcade, and I would give me, like, $30, and I would be like, go and play with your friends and remember this because they will not speak to you after you graduate from high school.
Or you could do something, like, totally awesome and not, like, lame.
Well, what would you do?
Well, you know what? Here's what I would do. If I had a time machine, I would go and collect a bunch of me and take them to my apartment to sex up my boyfriend.
Oh, I like that.
'Cause he really likes my tits, and I want to give him 20 of them. But then I'd probably get jealous and take me all home. Because if I killed myself, I'd actually kill myself. And that is the definition of a time paradox.
Paradox! I want to take mine back.
I knew
take mine
back.
I knew you would. Hold on, let me think. If I had a time machine, I would do so many awesome things, like make Betty White fall in love with me.
Ooh, yeah.
But back when Betty White wasn't so wrinkly, just to be clear, I don't want to do it with old ladies. Betty and I, we would soon be wed, and then I would divorce her.
What?
And we would steal all her money. Alimony! But before we did all that, we'd have to go back in time and find Hitler's mother and give her an abortion.
Abortion!
We would treat her right.
We would treat her fine.
Take her out and get her drunk on wine.
And then she would face it and take us back to her place.
And she'd take us by the hand and lead us up the stairs. And we'd take her by the shoulders and push her lovingly into the bedroom. And then we'd grab a hanger and hang up her dress because we don't want it to get wrinkly.
It's silk, come on.
And we'd lay there in her arms. And we'd begin to have sex, 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 second thoughts. Oh my God, what were we about to do?
Oh my God, and she told us that story about her puppy, and she's so sweet.
No,
we can't do this story.
Once you start something, you finish it. You stick with the plan. You stick with the plan.
Fine. Okay. It's time to nut up or shut up.
So then we'd kick, 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 kick her in the stomach and run. Oh my God.
Holy.
High fives.
Yeah, we just did it. Booyah.
We killed Hitler.
Yeah.
And then after we do that, we'll go find Betty White and travel to the Cretaceous period and ride Velociraptors. Velociraptors!
Time travel is possible.
Once again, we would like to thank our guest Afterbirth Monkey for being on the podcast this month. If you would like more information about what they're up to and to listen to some of their awesome material, please visit them at reverbnation.com/afterbirthmonkey.
Those guys are so funny. Yeah.
They're so nasty.
Oh man!
But they're so much fun. And they're just an adorable pair of historians.
Yeah.
And I want everybody I want both of our listeners to have them in their lives.
If you are ever in the New York City metro area and you get a chance to see them live, I highly recommend it.
Or if you're in the future and you can see them anywhere because they're on tour all over.
True.
Please visit them in Helsinki this summer. In the future.
Let's do some plugs and get the frack out of town.
Finally.
What do you got going on? What's going on in your life?
I got to look at my calendar.
All right. I will go first.
Okay.
Orlando, Florida. All my Orlando peeps. I am going to be in Orlando, Florida on June 28th, Thursday, June 28th. I'm going to be at the Red Lily Lounge for Big Bang Boom Burlesque. The theme is mythical creatures.
I'm sorry. What was the date of that? Thursday, June 28th?
Yes.
That's not a day.
Wait, what are you talking about?
You mean Thursday, June 27th or Friday, June 28th?
Oh, crap. Friday. Yes, thank you.
You mean tomorrow.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Friday, June 28th at the Red Lily Lounge. You can go to Facebook and just type in BBB Presents. Red Lily Lounge After Dark. I'm going to be bringing my brand of magic to Orlando, Florida. I'm also July 6th. Saturday, July 6th, Epic Win Burlesque presents the Wild Card Show. It's going to be crazy shenanigans. Anything that can happen will happen at the Wild Card Show, and that's going to be at R Bar. July 13th. I don't know if I should say this or not because it isn't 100% confirmed, but I'm hoping it's confirmed, so I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to be performing at the Goblin Market. It's part of this world, the Steampunk World's Fair. They're doing a summer show called the Goblin Market, and there's a show called Octulus. And I'm going to be doing some stories, and I'm going to be doing some spooky magic, and hopefully that will happen because I'm trying to make it happen. And then July 19th and July 20th, Epic Win presents the Slash Fic Show. That's right, Slash Fic. All of your favorite Slash Fic will come to life. Would you like to see Harry Potter get it on with Snape? Would you like Spock to bugger Kirk? All of that will happen at the Slash Fic Show. Check out epicwinburlesque.com. Or the Epic Win Burlesque page, basically. That's a big, big month coming up, basically, for Epic Win Burlesque and Nelson Lugo.
On Friday, July 12th, I will perform in Johnny Pork Pie's Pinch Bottom Burlesque presents Naked Planet.
Oh, wow.
At Coney Island. It's one of the original Pinch Bottom shows that I was in back in 2006.
That's a blast from the past.
He's brought it back, and I will be performing that. I'll be performing an ancient song that people request from me all the time that I will no longer perform live.
What is that?
Clone Fucker.
Oh.
Good God.
I do like that song.
On Saturday, July 13th, I will perform at a party in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. There's an all-day party going on in some private space, an outdoor party that lasts all day. I'm going to be doing a full set at somebody's birthday. I don't have any more information. Check my website, shapeofthedarklord.com. I will post the address and the details, and you can go see that and watch me drink in the sun. On Sunday, July 21st, I'm doing my first ever doubleheader of hosting.
Oh.
Look, I know people do this a lot, especially in burlesque. A lot of burlesquers, they'll come to the show, and then they have to bow out before curtain call because they have to make it to another show.
Right.
I've done that, too. I've been in a show, and then I have to skedaddle off to another show.
Oh, sure.
But I've never done hosting two shows back to back. And on Sunday, July 21st, I will do it for the first time when I host Kitty Nights Burlesque at Mug Lounge.
Wow.
Immediately following that, I will be hosting Rawr Burlesque, the new show co-produced by Stella Chu, who was our guest in episode 3.
True.
And Danger Doll. And I don't know the location of that again, so please check the show notes because I'm drunk and not prepared to do the plugs.
Also, I want to mention one quick thing. I have finally launched the Facebook page for the Nerdlesque Festival, which is happening in April of 2014.
You have to do that now.
I know. It's a thing I have to do now.
That's so much work. I'm so glad
so
I'm not you.
So much work. It's going to be a three-day festival of nerdy burlesque in New York City. So if you like nerdy stuff, if you like burlesque, if you like nerdy burlesque, and you want to come to New York in April of 2014, then go to Facebook. I will put all of that into the show notes.
Also, if you want to watch Nelson Lugo die of a stress seizure, that would be a good time to go. As he attempts to host or produce a three-day burlesque festival.
Right. I'm going to name my first ulcer Epic Win Burlesque.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to be in the front row just fucking eating funnel cakes and popcorn cotton candy and giggling at you as I watch you crumble under the weight of the too big a bite that you bit.
I survived cancer only to die from stress.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt that says that.
Nice. So, we've been prolonging this with the contest and the names.
We have a contest. It's like 3 months overdue.
Yes, because
you introduce contests to these people and then you bounce for like 3 months.
Yeah, I didn't bounce for 3 months.
You had eczema.
I got cancer.
Tomato, tomato.
Ball cancer.
So anyway,
I have this hat. Inside this hat is a collection of names. There are about, two, three dozen names. Would you say about two, three dozen names in this?
I would say there are about two or three dozen names in this hat.
All right. Should I pick the name or do you want to pick the name?
Here, I'll hold the hat.
Yeah.
You pick the name.
Excellent. Here we go. Drum roll, please. All right. And the name is Laramie Finch.
Laramie Finch.
Laramie Finch, you win all the prizes.
Oh my God, we're going to send you a jet ski.
We're
going to send you a life-size Optimus Prime.
No, that's not.
We're going to send you a bullshit trinket that you could have bought at the dollar store in your town.
That's exactly what you're getting.
But it'll have been touched by Nelson Lugo.
That's true. But listen, I'm going to get in contact with you. I have options for you. I've got digital comics. I've got t-shirts. I've got CDs. I've got a plethora of prizes for you to choose from. You get to choose because you waited so damn long. Anyway.
If you have comments, feedback, hate mail, anger, or naked pictures that you would like to send to either Nelson Lugo or his co-host, you can send those to epicpiecast@gmail.com.
That's epicpiecast@gmail.com.
I grow weary of this world.
It is time to end the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 11 of the Epic Piecast. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, Internet.
The Epic Piecast is brought to you by Nerdy Show. All programming on the Nerdy Show Network is listener-supported. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, you can show your support by telling a friend or going to nerdyshow.com and clicking the support button. Even a small contribution gets you cool nerdy perks and allows you to take part in our monthly support drive contests. For more episodes of the Epic Piecast, videos, contests, and other nerdy programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Subscribe to all our latest episodes via the iTunes Store. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at Nerdy Show to keep up to date on the latest Nerdy Show news. You guys, I never played high school baseball. Just so we're clear. Okay? See you next month.